Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robertson. It is March 8, 2017. Now, today, I am interviewing Dana Turner. That's your last name, right?
That is my last name.
Very good. Well, I noticed that you have two last names on your Facebook.
Yeah.
One is your original last name,
mm-hmm.
and then the one's a,
yeah.
your main name.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quick question. We're going for an hour, so. how did you get to know Jesus? Tell me about when you accepted Jesus in your heart, stuff like that.
I really believe that I accepted Jesus in my heart when I was a little girl, when I was a little kid.
You grew up in church?
I grew up in church. I went to private school, private Christian school.
Really? You're messed up.
All of my life. Very.
Because I went to a private school, too.
I went to private Christian school
up until seventh grade. Okay, so somehow you accepted Jesus within...
Yeah.
At the Christian school.
Yeah. So I think I accepted Christ at a young age. I do remember... it was real funny. I told this to my kids. There used to be Reverend Price, and he used to have a church in Inglewood before it moved somewhere in LA before it became like a mega church.
Right.
And I remember going to church mostly with my dad at that time. My parents were together because he used to take us to that church all the time. And when my parents broke up, I think. My brother and I would get my brother to walk up to the church when you could like be young kids and walk everywhere.
Right.
And we walked up there. The church was on Crenshaw and Century, I believe. And we were sitting there, and I think for some reason I just remember that particular day, that particular Sunday.
Right.
And so I think around that time, I think I felt Christ in my heart, because also at my school, we used to go to camp, church camp.
Right.
And so it was always around me. It was just always around
me. So you guys went to Fred Price's church?
We went to Fred Price. We didn't really have a church per se, but we went to Fred Price's church. And then when I saw, like, they had, like, camera, I think he was one of the first ones that actually would, like, videotape or had cameras on TV.
Yeah.
When I saw that he was on TV, then I'd really make my brother go so we could sit in the aisle so we could be on TV.
This is before Facebook. We were on TV.
So I'd see the camera guy going in the aisle, and I'd make sure I'd be, like, you know, put my hand out the aisle.
Where's my Bible?
That's so, well, little kid
I
back then.
I met Fred Price years ago when I first went to ministry. He was a really nice guy.
Right.
But I was so amazed that he's the one that was really, I would say, politically incorrect when he came to preaching, because he just preached his mind.
Yeah, he preached his mind. Not, I don't know if the word, yes, yeah, he would preach the word, but yeah, he put a little bit of his own spin on it.
No, because he was talking, I think the Sunday I went, it was in that dome thing. You know,
the big dome.
I went on that, and he was getting on people that were overweight.
Yeah. Like I said, they put their own spin on it. And so I used to see him when I was growing up. I think he was one of the ones, as far as like black, preach from the black church or so. He was one of the first ones that had like a Rolls Royce.
Oh, yeah.
And so he used to drive down Slauson. And so he'd go, oh, there goes Reverend Price and his Rolls Royce. He had this nice Rolls Royce. And I was like, what's a Rolls Royce? And it was this really nice, elaborate car. So, yeah.
The street next to his church is called Fred Price Street. Turn off my phone. So it was on Fred Price Street. Okay. So that was interesting. So you kind of grew up in there. And so then you, after high school, then what were you heading to with your life?
Let's see. I got baptized. Because my mom, after that, I started going to church with my mom, and we went to Greater Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. And so I grew up there. I think we joined, I don't know, I was 14, 15 or something like that. No, it was like in high school. And she didn't force me to get baptized or anything like that. And so I felt that it was time because I was going to church a lot. She was going to church a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was going to church like on Mondays, on Tuesdays with her. And then I was in choir. Okay. And then I was the youth group and all that stuff. Wow. So I got baptized first time like when I was 17.
The first time. So you got baptized. The first time.
I got baptized again.
You need baptized again.
I got baptized again when I got, I got baptized with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I got baptized again.
I didn't realize that was the second time.
Yeah, that was the second time.
So what made you decide to get baptized?
Because I think because I knew more.
Okay.
And when I got baptized the first time, I felt like it's just time for me to get baptized. It wasn't
it was
like
the motion.
Yeah,
the
it's like
emotion.
It's time for me to get baptized.
Okay.
You know. So, not like I didn't love Christ and I didn't love it was just that was my whole thing about it. It's time for me to get baptized. Right. So, I did it then. But now, I know more and I understand more. So.
Do you think, because you grew up in the church and went to Christian school and went to church,
mm-hmm.
do you think there's a part of you, and I have no idea, that went through a rebellious period?
Please, yeah.
Okay.
You kidding me?
Because I noticed that happens a lot when people that just constantly are saturated with church.
Uh-huh.
That when did it get to a point where you just go, okay, forget it. I'm going rebellious. I mean, you didn't probably say that. But.
Uh-huh. As I got older, I started learning about church.
Okay.
How church is manufactured. Is that a good word?
Word works for you.
And
they manufactured Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
How the business side is.
Okay.
I started kind of listening, kind of knowing some things, and then I left my church that I grew up in and went to another church.
Okay.
And it was a like church like this. It was
it's a Christian church.
It was a Christian church. Methodist. It was a Methodist church.
Okay.
And I really liked that church, but then the pastor left. And then so after that, I was kind of like in limbo because I didn't like my church anymore because I didn't agree too much with how the pastor at that time, certain things I just didn't agree with.
Okay.
It just didn't meet my needs.
Right.
So, I rebelled. So, I moved away.
Where'd you move to?
I moved to Texas. I moved to Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
Or Irving, Texas. So, I was out there. I did go to church, but I was kind of off and on.
Okay.
And I rebelled. I was like, you know, in the clubs.
Right.
And,
oh, really?
You know, doing the things that, you know, you do at your 20s. I was in the clubs. And I had multiple jobs.
Okay.
So I was like, I threw newspapers.
Did you really?
I did. Monday through, 7 days a week. I threw newspapers from 12 in the morning to 2 or 3 in the morning.
Okay.
And then I worked at this firm, HD Vest.
Okay.
I worked there. I would go in at about 7 or 8 in the morning till about 5:30.
Okay.
And
wow.
I worked there, and then I decided to go back to school because I used to work for Microsoft.
Did you?
And then they that didn't work out. Laid off at Microsoft, and then I went back to school. So that school was like from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So that's what I did.
Okay, so you went to school. And the thing is, if you guys are listening to the podcast, Dana is one of them. Biggest hardcore Dallas fanatic fan I've ever
big
seen.
Big Dallas Cowboy fan.
Did you get to the point it's ridiculous because her son has like the star of Dallas Cowboys shaved in the side of his head every time he gets a haircut, right?
Right.
Did you make him do that?
No. It's just a star. It's not necessarily a Dallas Cowboy star, but it's
just
a star.
Like
it just looks like a Dallas Cowboy star, but it's not. I don't make him get
so
a star.
So when you lived in Texas, is that when you got hardcore on that?
That's what, I mean, I always loved football. I always loved football, but when I moved to Dallas, Texas, I really got into hardcore football, and I just started watching football like a fanatic.
Okay.
And then I was around, like, I was like, lived in Irving, Las Colinas area, okay. And a lot of the Cowboys stadium was over there then. Right. So I would see a lot of the Cowboys. And so, okay. Troy Aikman, I wanted to marry him. He was my favorite.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook profile. Yeah, his picture.
Yeah, I love Troy Aikman. I wanted to, so I named my daughter Dallas.
Okay.
Because I love Dallas Cowboys.
See, don't you think that's... like, over the top.
It's very much over the top. These are the crazy things you do.
Okay. Okay. At least you're not a Pittsburgh Steeler. You would name your daughter Pittsburgh. They get into Dallas. Okay. So Dallas,
and then I wanted to name my son Aikman.
Okay.
But Dad was like, no, we're going to name him something biblical. We're not going to do that.
Aikman?
I didn't want to name him Aikman. Okay. Or Landry. One of the two. Aikman or Landry.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But he was like, no,
we're going to. It was a difficult year. I mean, you guys had a good season.
Oh, it was a great season. With a rookie? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You really did.
I'm okay with the season. I'm proud of them. Really, I mean.
No, you got a team to build on, and the only reason I know what I'm talking about is because I'm married to Jennifer.
Yeah, we're just a diehard Steelers
fan. I have to know someone in football. So let's go back a little. Okay, how about before you had your kids?
Yeah.
Were you married before, or you just
no?
Okay,
no.
Tell us about that relationship.
I had known the kid's dad since I was a little girl.
Okay.
So, and when I say little girl, teenagers, because we went to the same church.
Okay.
So we went to the same church. We sung in choir together.
Right.
We kind of knew each other and around. But as we got older and we were around each other, you know, we started noticing each other.
Right.
And this was like well into our 20s.
Yeah.
So when we started noticing each other, we started hanging out more. Mm. And we had great friendship.
Okay.
Great friendship, fell in love, and then.
Did you guys talk about marriage or anything? Or
No. We were just getting started in our relationship. We were together for like 3 months,
okay.
And then I moved to Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I moved to Texas, and then we kind of like had this like quick conversation because he was helping me to move.
Right.
To put the stuff on the U-Haul truck, I'll never forget.
Okay.
And then I brought up the subject about where our relationship was going to be.
Right.
Like, I initiated it. Because nothing was being said.
Mm.
And then so I was like, well, you know what? You go ahead and you date in L.A. And then I'll date in Texas. And if it works out, we'll come back together. But I don't want you to, like, not date.
Right.
So,
long distance relationships are difficult.
So I was like, I don't want you to like not date
right.
and be waiting for me. I don't want us to wait for each other.
Okay.
Because I mean, it was 3 months until the relationship. So
yeah,
I was like, yeah. So and we just got out of the friend zone or what have you. So I didn't want to do that to him.
Right.
You know. And so you know he was kind of reluctant, but he was like, okay, you know. And so that's what we did. So. We weren't together, you know, he dated people, I dated people, but for some reason, it came back around.
Okay.
We started talking more to each other, visiting each other more. And
you're still living in Texas.
I'm still living in Texas.
Okay.
He's still out there. So we made a decision. So I was like, you need to come out here. And he was like, no, I don't want to come out. So I was like, okay, maybe it's easier for me to go back to LA.
Right.
So he came out here to LA to Texas.
Okay.
He came to Texas where I was living at the time. I got a job. Once I finished school, I got a job in Abilene, Texas.
Okay.
Which like shut down at like 3 o'clock.
Nothing going on.
It was nothing going on. And then so I stayed there for a year so I could learn my job. And then I was like, as soon as the anniversary came up, I was out of there. And so he came to Abilene, Texas, packed me up. I got a truck. He packed me up. Moved all the stuff in it, and we both drove back. He drove me back to L.A. And so as soon as we got to L.A., started dating.
Okay. And so then how long did this last? Did the dating and...
It was for like 2 years.
Okay.
And during that time, you know, we were talking about what we wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't live together or anything like that. I got my own place, and... You know, we just decided, okay, this is what... So I was kind of like, what are we doing? What are we going to do? And so, he asked me to marry him.
Okay. And so you got engaged.
We got engaged.
Okay.
We got engaged and That's the story. We got married.
Okay. So you got married, and then Dallas...
Dallas came about. Okay, so we got married in January of 2003, and Dallas was born in December of 2003.
Okay. So, real quick.
Yeah, very quick.
Okay. And so, then Dallas... So the relationship's going good.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, yeah, it was okay. Okay. We had our It was okay because we had there were I think red flags on both of us because I think we had a different kind of interpretation.
Okay.
And I really think that I was thinking that because we both grew up in church,
right,
and we both knew each other
right.
as friends, and we've known each other all our lives,
right.
that whatever was a red flag could be worked on. Yeah,
I saw it. Yeah.
And so whatever was a red flag could be worked
right,
out
right.
in the marriage
okay.
or it wasn't that big a deal
okay.
at the time.
Okay.
You know, so, and I'm sure he thought the same on his part too.
Okay. And so, and then the second, you know, when did your son born?
In 2006.
2006.
Yeah.
So about 3 years
uh-huh.
different. So in that 3 year period, marriage is doing fine.
Marriage is sailing. I wouldn't say it was fine, but it was sailing. It was okay because we bought a house.
Okay.
And we were just, you know, working and living life and doing what married people do.
So when did you start developing holes in a sailboat?
I think after Noah was born, I started, like, really paying attention to some things.
Okay.
And we had been to, like, 5 different counselors.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, we had, like, five different
Good
counselors.
Night.
Yeah. So it was kind of like
who was picking?
The counselors?
Yeah. Well, usually what happens, the counselor says something that someone doesn't want to hear, and then they go to another counselor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like... Our kind of early relationship, we went to a counselor.
Okay.
We worked on it. And then we just started, like, towards the end, we just go on to a different counselor.
Okay.
So it was either counselors that, it was pretty much kind of like, well, I don't want to go to a counselor. Okay, well,
okay.
I'll tell you what, we'll find another counselor
okay.
that would be better for both
right.
of us and stuff like that. So it was, like, different counselors.
Right.
And it got to a point where I was just like, nah, it's, I see it. I know he sees it. We both
yeah.
see it. It's not going to work.
It's
not going to work. So, he filed
okay.
for divorce.
Now, the one thing I want to do, without going on the details about
uh-huh.
how things went,
uh-huh.
but I think you wrote something and showed me a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really powerful because the divorce has been tough on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only emotionally, but financially.
It
as well.
Is. It is.
And so, if you remember, you were making a choice in that letter.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that choice? Do you remember? It was a choice not to get bitter. It was a choice.
Oh,
not
yeah.
To,
yeah. Yeah.
To kind of let go of some of the,
right.
the things.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of getting pulled. But, you know, when you get divorced, what we did, we were trying to be, and I wanted us to be as clear as possible,
mm-hmm.
is what I wanted us to be.
Right.
I really think he wanted that, too. But we wanted to be adult about it.
Right.
We didn't want to be bitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, when you get divorced, I like to meet the person who wrote the book on when you get divorced, you gotta be angry and bitter and you gotta, you know, do things to the
right.
spouse that, you know, because I like to shake them because it's like, you don't have to be that way.
Right.
It's okay if the marriage doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Right.
But what we had discussed and what was happening were two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me like very disappointed and I was getting to the point where I was trying so hard not to be bitter.
Right.
Because if there's bitterness on one partner,
right.
and then the other person's bitter, you're going to just be in that bitter spot.
Oh, absolutely.
For, and it could be year, it could be year. The kids could be like 21 and 25, and we're still like angry at each other.
And you're talking to the parents.
Yeah. Tell your dad I said this. You know, it's really, it's so stupid. I think it's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I didn't want that. And you don't have to be that way.
Right.
And so I was, when I wrote that email to you, I was really, there was like this anger at me. Well, one, when you're going through a divorce and you say something to family on both sides, then family chooses a side and they're going to pick your side.
Absolutely. Blood is thicker than water.
Blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
So they're going to pick your side. So they're going to tell you what you need to do, tell you about that person, tell you what they always thought about that person. Then you go to your attorney. So you got that in your head.
Yeah.
Then you go to your attorney. Your attorney's going to tell you about that person, what they think about that person, what you should do to that person.
Yeah.
However, you know truly how that person is.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that they said is clouded so much.
Right.
The action that you do is totally different than how you really would do it if you didn't have all those people in your ear.
Right. And absolutely.
And so I think people, and then of course you're hurt on top of that. And then, so if you choose that bitter road, which is like the cherry on the cake of it all, you're just going to find yourself in that pattern. You're going to find yourself stuck, really.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck in that anger. And I could not be that because I have two kids.
Right, right.
So if he chose to be angry and I chose to be angry, then the kids are going to be angry because we're both living this angry life.
Right, right.
And I didn't want angry kids.
No.
You know? And so I had to rise above it. Yeah. I had to.
And it was a conscious decision for you.
It was, because as we were going through our divorce, I constantly made sure that I prayed for us, he and I.
Right.
I prayed for him. I prayed for his family. I prayed that he would find someone.
Right.
I prayed, you know, for the betterment of him. Even though the attack was coming at me, I prayed that he would be better.
Yeah.
And that I would be better.
Right.
And my kids would be better. And it wasn't like I was such a martyr or anything, but I knew I had to do that or else I would never... I could never be here at this spot, at this place.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, even if the Bible says pray for your enemies, don't pray for those who persecute you.
Which is a hard thing to do.
It is. But it releases you.
Yeah.
It releases you in a sense, like you're starting to make decisions that are based on logic rather than bitterness.
That's right.
Bitterness costs a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me about it.
It costs a lot of money because you go through that. And then, so after the divorce, you went back to college.
Let me tell you.
Tell me.
I was going through it and I didn't know how to... I didn't know what to do. I was just kind of like in this fog, really.
Right.
And I moved across the street.
Okay, here, from the church.
From the church.
Okay.
I moved across the street and...
I didn't realize that. I did.
Okay. I moved across the street. I moved from the house. I moved across the street. And I looked in the mirror. And I said, I got to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the bathroom mirror and I got to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
So... as most women do, we go and we do something to our hair for some reason. I don't know what that's about. I don't know what that is, but I like cut off all my hair.
Oh,
so I cut off all my hair. So I was like almost bald, right? And then I was like, it was like the next day. And so I was like, this is not working. Or next week. And I was like, this is not working.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, Lord. I don't know what else to do. I feel like I'm in limbo here.
Mm-hmm. Which you were.
I was.
Yeah.
I totally was in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you brought me here to this place. You made it a way where I could be here and live. So I'm in limbo. Whatever it is that your will is, whatever it is that you want me to do, give me a sign. Show me something. I need a sign. I mean, I need a blatant sign where you're like hitting me across my face where I know. Because he shows me signs all the time and I'm just like, do, you know. And then
sucker punch.
Yeah, I need like a big sucker punch. I need one of those Mike Tyson bite on the ear punch in your face. Like something like that. And then so my boss... comes out of the hallway, out of his office. And he says, Dana, I need to speak to you. Okay. And I'm like, man, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So he says, have a seat. I said, okay. He says, is this all you want to do? And I said, I was like, sit here in your office? And that was like my answer. And he said, no. He said, do you just want to do this? And I was like, well, I guess. Uh-huh. He's like, you ever thought about going back to school? And I was like, yeah, I've always thought about going back to school.
Right, right.
And he says, I'm going to hook you up with somebody who I know, and I'm going to make an appointment for you. For you to go back to school. Now, it was University of Phoenix. I had been, while I was married, I had been to University of Phoenix 3 times,
mm-hmm.
considering it, but right. I never did it
right.
because my hubby wasn't really, he wasn't really like, I don't want you to go back to school. I want you to work.
And University of Phoenix is one of the largest online schools.
It's one of those large online schools. Okay. And so I was like, okay, so... He made an appointment for me that day or the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I went and talked to the guy, and my kids were with me, so I had to tell the kid because I was trying to keep things
right.
really like on the well. Down low. So I told the kids I was going to the dentist.
Okay.
And they were little kids, right. so they believe whatever I say. If I said it now, they go, oh, whatever, Mom. But then, you know, they're little kids, right. so they believe everything yeah. you say. And then so the guy had like a basketball court right outside his office. The kids were playing basketball. Right. I was in there, and he was telling me all these different things. So when I went down the list of how many schools I went to,
mm-hmm.
it was like 7 schools.
Oh, wow.
7, 8 schools. I had been to 7 different yeah. 8 schools because I could never finish anything. Right. I would start and never finish anything. And so he was like, how can I? He said, you're like the runaway bride of schools. So what would you do in order to finish school? I said, I can't afford it. He said, so what if you can't afford it, what would you do in order to finish school?
Right.
And so I was like, eat beans and rice. And he's like, you know, it's 2 years, right? I was like, yeah, I'll eat beans and rice for 2 years. And so he was like, okay, let's sign on the dotted line. And I signed up. I didn't have a computer. I didn't know how I was going to afford it. I didn't. So I went to my brother, okay. who's a... I say he's a miser, but he's really tight with money when it comes to, like, me.
Which you're a miser, and you have money when you're a miser. Right?
Yeah, he's got money. And so I always thought he was, like, a miser towards me. Okay. Other people, he'll buy whatever, right. but towards me, is not so much. And then I was telling myself, I just signed up for school, and I don't have a computer. I don't have any paper. Right. I said, so I guess I'll go to, like, Kinko's. They have computers there, and mm-hmm. so I can, like, do that. The next day... He comes in with a computer, a year's worth of supply of paper,
right.
everything that I needed that I didn't even ask for. Okay. And he's like, yeah, I went and got you this, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like,
wow.
So God must really want me to do this. Yeah. Because every time I was going to school, it worked out. Even while I was going yeah. through all that mess with the courts and all right. that stuff. It was like a breeze. I have to tell you, it was a breeze going to school. Right. If I didn't go to school, and I think it worked out at that time, if I didn't have a focus to go to school while I was going through that,
right.
I think I would have been a mess. I think I would have been in a corner with my in a fetal position, sucking my thumb. I really believe I would have gone crazy.
It's interesting how when you said you went to school 7 times and you quit.
Mm-hmm. And I quit.
But this time... It's almost to the point you signed up and you didn't even figure out how you're going to do it. You mm-hmm. just signed up and instead of thinking it, you just said, I'm just going to go for it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it.
It's almost like taking that step of faith and then things started happening.
Yeah, and it was the worst time to go to school. The other time, it was a breeze. It was like I had all the time in the world. Right. I could do whatever I right. wanted to do. And this was like the ultimate worst time to even think about right. studying.
Right.
Or anything like that. They're the ultimate worst time in the world. I've got 2 kids.
Right.
I got to get... Now, on top
single
of that...
Single mother.
I'm single mom. I got to find a babysitter.
Right.
And when I found a babysitter, I just happened... I was like, how am I... I'm going to... Because I went to school.
Right.
I didn't go online. Yeah. I went to class.
Okay.
So, when I went to class, I just happened to ask somebody at my kid's school.
Right.
And I said, do you guys know... of babysitters or somebody who wants to watch kids, right. you know, on the side yeah. or something like that. And she said, I know this lady and she's a nurse and she called a limo service And the limo service would take her kids. And I was like, well, I'm not trying to have my kids, you know, in a limo. And so I called the lady. She brought her daughter over. And her daughter watched my kids. We call her Nanny Sean. And Sean has been watching my kids ever since then.
Wow.
She has never, like, tried to steal from me. Right. She's never, like, been late with my kids.
Yeah.
She treated my kids, even at 21.
Right.
She's treated my kids like they were her kids.
Okay.
And
so you graduated with what?
I graduated with a bachelor's.
Okay.
And what was that degree? Now I can't even remember my degree.
You graduated.
Human services. Yeah.
Because what do you do for work now?
I'm an echocardiographer. So I do ultrasounds.
Okay.
Of hearts.
Okay. So, because the cool thing about this, and this meant a lot to me with Dana, because when my brother was having his heart difficulties, and he had surgery.
Yeah.
Dana went all the way to Glendale.
Yeah.
Which is interesting to me because, okay, this is what's going on. You have to understand, my brother and I are completely two different breeds. Mm-hmm. And my brother's the cop.
Mm-hmm.
So Dana walks in, as comfortable as all, with a room full of police officers.
Right. Yeah, he had somebody in there. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And you just walked in and said, what?
I said, hi, I'm your brother's church. You don't know me. He thought I was a doctor because I had on my white smock.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was expecting me to be a doctor. You know, and so I was like, no, I go to your brother's church. And I sat there for like an hour or so. We were just kind of talking.
It meant so much to me when he did that.
Yeah.
Normally, no one would do that. So thank you so much.
No problem.
So you graduated what year? When did you graduate?
I graduated in 2012 with my bachelor's.
Okay. So this is going back on the conversation. You were saying, like, you went into this rebelliousness for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, went to Texas and dated and all that
stuff.
And then do you think spiritually you had that aha moment when you're sitting across the street in the apartment looking at the mirror and saying, okay, God, is that where you thought, I'm going to take my relationship seriously?
I did.
Okay.
I was one day... my lawyer at the time called me and they said, you need to get all of these papers because we have court or something. And I was like, how am I going to get all this stuff? And then I had to go to Kinko's and copy it. And that was going to be like hundreds of dollars because that's the game to make you spend as much money as possible. Yeah. And I was just like so frustrated because I was like, this is just so, it was like the outside looking at, you know, I was like that particular day I was like living outside of myself. I was going through the motions, but I was living outside of myself. And I was like, this is so stupid. And so I drove in here and I drove in really fast and then I slammed on the brakes. And I just started crying and I just started screaming, what do you want from me? What do you want from me?
Right.
What do you want me to do?
Right.
And right then and there, I just felt this calmness over me.
Mm.
And I was just like, okay. And so I went in and walked up and I had all these papers and I just got on my knees near my bed and I just started praying. I just started praying fervently, just like tears. I mean, tears just rolling and rolling. It was just so like incredible with tears in my body. It was like shaking because it was just like, what do you want me to do?
Right.
I don't know what else to do. It was almost like I've been running.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was almost like I've been running from God.
Right.
Even though I've been going to church.
We can go through the motions.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was going through the motions. Yeah. And it was that particular moment, I think, was where it was like, okay, I'm so glad you slowed down, Dana, so I can tell you what I want from you.
Yeah. And so what did he want? In hindsight, to surrender?
To surrender.
Okay.
To surrender.
All right.
Because I was going through the motions going to church when I was married.
Right.
Going through the motions of church, Because I was active. I was real active in church that he and I went to. And so just going through the motions. And then so when I was living over here, I came early in the morning, like 8 o'clock in the morning.
To this church. Okay.
And I saw Reuben.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And I was dressed to the nines because that's how you dress, black church. So I was dressed to the nines, had my purse that matches my shoes, had my dress that matches my hat. I had it down.
You look good.
I was looking great.
Okay.
And so he was looking here.
You're walking in your high heels.
I walk in my high heels, ready to go into church. And there's Reuben with his shorts and flip flops. And he was putting the stuff out for the coffee and everything, and he was like, I was like,
are you serious?
I'm serious.
No, are you thinking he's in his flip flops and shorts?
He was in shorts. It's like he's like a girl shorts, and he's like, I guess what you call it, boat dockers or whatever, docker boat.
So he's wearing shoes. White people shorts.
He's wearing white people shorts.
So he's wearing these. Okay, I gotta talk to him.
And then he was looking, and he's like, kind of like looked at me, like, kind of like, why are you here so early?
Yeah.
And then so I was like, oh, church doesn't start. He said, no, it doesn't start in another hour. I said, oh. Okay. And he's like, well, my name is Reuben. He's my pastor here. He's one of the associate pastors here. And so I was like, oh, okay, Reuben. Okay, well, I'll be back in an hour. He said, okay. I took all that stuff out, put on some jeans, some flip-flops, some shirt. Walked over here.
I don't think I've ever seen you dressed up like that. Mm-mm. At this church.
That was like the only time. I come in my scrubs. Like if it's a Saturday, when we have Saturdays, and I was working like on a Saturday, like I'm on call, I would leave church, and I'd drive here from church and, you know, in my scrubs and come on Saturday because I'd have to work on a Sunday.
That's
because I had to get some kind of, I had to get some church.
Yeah.
So.
And you've been going ever since.
And I've been going ever since. So I went for a while, and then I was going to my other church too.
Right.
And your church, when you started, when I sat and listened to you, you were so authentic and so real and so open. And I was like, man, you can't beat this. This is what I've been needing. And so even though the minister that, the church where I used to go to, I pretty much grew up with that guy. Yeah. I mean, we were friends. Yeah. We're still friends.
Right.
And he's known me since I was like 15.
Okay.
And so I was going to his church, and then finally I just had to go there like on a Thursday night, and I was like, hi, I'm leaving your church. Mm-hmm. He was like, why? You know? So I explained to him why, and so he's like, okay.
I know. And you know, the thing is, I get that too. I get people that say, we're moving on. And I take that so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, but you just, you probably saw your pastor's face just totally drop.
His face is like,
oh.
What? How are you going to do that to me? I've known you since you were 15. You going to leave me?
Oh, but, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
That's why I have these fantasies about leaving, being the first one to leave. No, I'm leaving. This is not the first one I'm leaving. And so then I had the privilege of baptizing you.
Yeah.
And so you're really taking your life with your Lord. You would say your life with the Lord right now is the best it's ever been.
It's the best it's ever. It's the best it's ever been. Yeah. I think when I went on that retreat, it was Pastor
Reuben.
Okay. With Pastor Marissa and Reuben. And
the guy with the flip flops and the
guy with the flip flops and the shorts.
He's spiritual?
Yeah. When I went on the retreat, I think there it was just like, okay, I am just sold out. I am so in. This is like beautiful. I hear you. I see you. Right. I feel you. I think that particular time is where I got closer.
Well, let me do a little commercial for it, because we do the beginnings and the deeper class.
Okay.
And the beginnings and deeper class, then we have the monastic retreat.
Okay.
You're talking about the monastic retreat.
That's right.
And then we go to Santa Barbara, to a monastery with real priest and the communion's real wine.
That's right.
And it's really a time of not talking, right? And doing studies. So so if anyone's interested in going to the monastic retreat, we have it twice a year.
Yeah, I think they should go. I really think they. I think the experience is necessary, really.
So let's wind it up.
Okay.
And how I want to wind it up is this. I want you to give some advice to somebody that's listening to the podcast that they can say, yeah, I'm going through the motions. I'm going through the motions of my marriage. I'm going through the motions at work. I'm going through the motions at church. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not feeling it, you know. And if they would go, Dana, how do I start to live again? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I start, based on your experiences, how do I do this?
As far as being the marriage, going through the motion with your marriage, you really have to get to a point where you have to, it's more than just taking a sheet of paper mm-hmm. and drawing it down the middle and saying pros and cons of this marriage. Should I stay? Should I, you know, should I stay or should I go now? That kind of thing.
The cons get bigger when you're having a bad day.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Because it's all emotion.
Yeah.
And you don't want to base things on emotion.
Yeah.
You really want to have a sincere discussion with yourself
right.
to God about you.
Yeah.
Why is it that you are stuck? Why are you going through the motions?
Right.
One, before you could even talk about you and another person,
right.
you need to know why you are not going through the motion.
Right.
And that takes sincere prayer, sincere honesty
mm-hmm.
to be with yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is not easy for people. I had to do it for myself.
No.
Right before we broke up and really after we broke up.
Right.
Where you had to, like, really put a mirror to yourself and talk about you.
Right.
Not talk about, oh, well, he made me do this and I reacted
right.
this way.
Right.
No. Why did you do the things that you did?
Yeah.
Why did you, you know, let's just talk about you,
right.
just you.
Yeah.
If you're just going through the motions at work, if you're just going through the motions in life,
right.
it's the same thing. You have to see, is anything being done?
Right.
Why are you just spinning your wheels
mm-hmm.
and you're just, that's all you're doing?
Yeah.
What is the fear
mm-hmm.
of going forward?
Right.
Because you already know that God is with you no matter what steps you take.
Right.
So if you already know that, then take the step.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
You have to give him something to bless.
Mm.
You can't just stay on the couch,
right.
sitting on the couch.
Bless me.
Yeah, and just say, bless me. You got to give him something to bless.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, you have to really look inside yourself
right.
seriously
mm.
and to be, I mean, really sold out, really surrender.
Mm.
I mean, to be open. And I know maybe those are just key words we use, perhaps, but it's serious. It's very true.
Yeah.
You have to, it's very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do it. I mean, is it hard being a single mom? Yes, it's very hard being
yeah.
a single mom. I don't think it was ordained for people to be single,
right.
to be divorced, and to have kids, and to work up, you know,
yeah.
To be, it's, I don't think God ordained it that
right.
way. However, if you really ask for help from Christ, he will make a way for you. And
yeah.
he's done that for me.
Yeah.
It's still hard, but
yeah.
when things come around, like babysitter, just recently, I would pick up the kids late.
Right.
Trying to come from my job all the way to pick up the kids.
Yeah.
And they're the first one to be dropped off in the mornings
yeah.
and the last one to be picked up.
Yeah.
And so I had to look for help.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens, the babysitter that the kids have always had,
right.
she rearranged her schedule so she can pick up my kids now.
Okay.
So he knows what you need.
Yeah.
All you got to do is step out and ask him.
Yeah.
But I think we just don't ask. So there's nothing he can bless.
Yeah.
So you
okay.
have to step out on faith. You got to do it.
Good. Well, thank you, Dana. I really...
No problem.
You know, we did a good job.
We did a great job.
We did a good job. Now, just as long as we give ourselves thumbs up on the podcast and say, hey,
that's right. It was great.
We did good. Well, thank you, Dana. And listen, if you're interested in being part of our services, we're having one service this month.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second week into Lent. And if you joined us last week during the Ash Wednesday service, what an excellent service. And so join us. It's 10 a.m. every Sunday all the way to Easter. And then we get out at 11:15. If this... if this interview meant a lot to you, and Dana comes to church, she's over almost every Sunday.
I'm there. I'm there, man.
And I know exactly where she sits. She sits near me. So just embrace Dana and say, thank you so much for the interview. You were cool. So anyway, God bless you, and remember, every day is a gift from God, and use it wisely, and we'll see you next week for another podcast. God bless.
God bless.
You did good.
Thank you.